Boy, things have changed around sports, obviously, and you also things in radio land as well. You don't need a traditional radio to stay locked into WWL anymore. You can stream us live on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps from your favorite talk shows to breaking news and weather. You can take WWL wherever the day gets you. This is the power of listening anytime, anywhere. Back here on WWL Sports Talk, we are heading out to California right now, where Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak just watched another Saints joint practice. This time, Jeff, a lot less scuffling going on. As you called it, you took the under the other day on how many fights would break out, and I believe it was a clean practice today. No issues going against the Rams.
No, and that's a good thing. Like if there was another day with a bunch of fights, then you would have looked back at Tuesday and been like, man, maybe the Saints were the problem. I think the NFL kind of took it as, hey, this was a equal opportunity punishment situation. Both the Cowboys and the Saints got fined $500,000. You know, they each had their part in that. So, I asked Kellen if, you know, they really emphasized it. He said they acknowledged it. They did talk about it, but it wasn't, you know, this big thing. They just understood, hey, you got to go out there. It's about football. You got to go play football. And that's what we saw today. It was a shorter practice. You know, I think the Saints are dealing with a few injuries. They're a little banged up. So I think they cut out like the 2 minute situation at the end, and you had a kind of lighter day. You had a couple guys taking rest days. Chris Olave didn't participate. Caden Ellis didn't participate. But otherwise, I thought it was a good solid day of work.
You know, maybe the NFL caught wind of the Brock Recksteiner body slam and that kind of, and you know, got their piqued their interest even more. I feel like.
Well, the NFL did make a point earlier this offseason to send out a memo to all 32 teams back in July saying, hey, joint practice conduct is going to be a point of emphasis. We do not want to see fights. We do not want to see particularly fights that lead to injuries, which is what they're really trying to avoid. When you get into these brawl situations, like guys get heated, a little pushing and shoving isn't a huge problem. But the way it was going on at that practice where you had these kind of extended, like benches clearing type brawl situations, like you mentioned, the Brock Recksteiner clip where he's getting into a fight with Jalen Thompson and he ends up going to the ground. There's a clip, there's pictures on AP of like Phil Galliano right in the middle of the mix with all these guys in pads. Like that's a dangerous situation, you know? So, I don't blame the NFL for coming down hard. It does feel like the Saints and the Cowboys are getting kind of made the examples of a little bit. But, hey, I mean, they earned it, right? Like, that's what everyone was talking about. So, I don't think they have much reason to be upset about the results of the NFL's discipline, even if it's a little frustrating to have to cut that, you know, $500,000 check.
Jeff, it is kind of funny to see on social media, specifically Twitter, like both, I guess, groups of reporters or beat writers saying, oh, I mean, our guys haven't had any issues at any other joint workouts. Oh, our guys haven't had any issues at any, like, your team's dirty. No, your team's dirty. But it is kind of goofy. You mentioned the whole situation with Chris Olave. He takes the rest day. We know what happened with Jordan Tyson. We got that report earlier in the week. So the wide receiver spot was one of intrigue, I think, for today's practice. And you talked a lot in your notes about Devon Vele and Bryce Lance. Just want to get your reporting on, you know, how some of the, I guess, guys a little bit lower on the totem pole with Olave and Tyson out performed.
Yeah, and I think Jordan Tyson being hurt and not being available, I think that does lead you, if you're the Saints, to probably being a little bit more cautious with Chris Olave, because if he were to go down in a joint practice, you know, there's a little bit of uncontrollable situations. Look at Alvin Kamara. You're not hitting in that practice on Tuesday, but, you know, Maliki Matavale gets blocked into the side of him and he gets hurt and there's nothing you can do about it. I think the one thing the Saints needed to avoid was coming home from this trip and not having Chris Olave or Jordan Tyson. So they made the decision to sit him down, and I can't be mad about it. Got a lot of work on Tuesday. But, yeah, like today was interesting because you did have Devon Vele out there. He got a rest day on Tuesday, so he was heavily involved. Tyler Shuck hooked up with him over the middle of the field a few times. But it was Bryce Lance mainly who got the bulk of the work, who had the most production outside of Devon Vele. He had a couple nice touchdowns in the red zone. One was kind of a slot fade where he just dusted, I want to say it was Quentin Lake, and Tyler Shuck laid it over the top. You know, when you're throwing to a 6'3 receiver, as a quarterback, you just have so many more options of where you can deliver that ball compared to, say, like last year with like a Brandon Cooks. Like, you just, it just gives you way more wiggle room on where you can deliver it and how you can release the ball. He had another touchdown coming across the middle. So I think you're seeing Bryce Lance develop. And he's still got a ways to go. I think he still has to refine his route running a lot. But I was happy with what I saw from him. Outside of that, I don't think the Saints offense was hugely productive today. It was a lot more of the kind of dinking and dunking offense. We're still kind of seeing the downfield action be a little subdued. Like, they're very efficient over the middle of the field. But I felt like today you could really feel Chris Olave's absence, because there were plays where, you know, Tyler was just holding onto the ball a lot longer than you've seen, particularly on Tuesday, because I think he was just waiting for guys to get open and guys didn't get open. So he's trying to extend plays. The Rams, even without Myles Garrett out there, the Rams' defensive front is still really, really good. And they were getting after it, probably two or three sacks, a couple more that, you know, he probably evaded but wasn't able to make anything up downfield, where he kind of just throw it away. Berrion Brown, I think he might have had one target. He might have had one catch. You know, not a huge day for him. Bub Means had a few targets. I think he only had one catch. So, I wouldn't say it was a hugely successful day for the Saints offense, but they did make some big plays. They did run the ball well, which was nice to see. It was the second practice in a row we've seen them really kind of get good push in the run game. I do want to note that in the pass protection part of it, Cesar Ruiz went down. I want to say it was in the second team period. Eric McCoy kind of got rolled up on him. Looked like he was dealing with an ankle issue or something to that extent with his left leg. So that'll be one to watch. He did stick around. He was moving okay at the end of practice. So hopefully it's not anything serious, but that'll definitely be one to monitor.
Jeff, you just mentioned there with Cesar Ruiz, when he goes down, who ends up stepping up into that role?
Yeah, today it was Jeremiah Wright.
Okay.
You know, and it would have been Dylan Radins previously. He's right. Down with a torn ACL. He's out for the year. So for now, it looks like Jeremiah Wright is that first guy off the bench. You know, rookie fourth-round draft pick out of Auburn. Kind of a raw player. I'd be surprised if you go into the regular season and don't have a more proven option to be that kind of step-in, backup, interior lineman, whatever you want to call him, your sixth or seventh offensive lineman. Like, I would feel a little nervous going into the season with him in that role, just because we've seen, you know, how many games did Dylan Radins start last year? 10? You know, so that's a position that, you know, you can be relying on them really quickly. That said, I did think Jeremiah played reasonably well today. He's at his best in the run game, where he can kind of get downfield and use that aggression to his advantage. You know, I thought he picked up a couple stunts pretty well today. I think he's improving. But, you know, just I think that the technicality, the footwork has a long way to go. But it was telling of how this team is feeling about his development that they were willing to just throw him in there in this kind of heated environment and see what he had. So I would expect him to get a lot more run at right guard on Saturday. You're not going to see many starters, if any. So, you know, he's going to have a lot of opportunities for time on task to improve. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he impresses coaches enough that they don't feel like they have to go out and make, you know, one of those late camp trades like they did with Luke Fortner, Austin Richards last year. But for now, it's Jeremiah.
Got to imagine one of the highlights from today was the birthday boy, Bryce Lance. So he had two touchdowns that he caught from Tyler Shuck, and hopefully that's a good sign that he won't be held out for Saturday's game, because we didn't get to see him in the preseason opener.
Yeah, he was a little banged up, but, you know, Kellen after the game said he could have played if they needed him. He was kind of in an emergency capacity. I think there'll be a few players that we didn't see last weekend getting, whether they get a lot of run, whether they just get a few snaps. But, you know, Tyree Wilson, Anthony Jennings, both guys suited up but didn't really play. Bryce Lance, as you mentioned. I think Danny Stutzman is a guy I'd expect to see this week. He got sat last week just because, you know, he's got a defined role and they wanted to get reps for some other guys. But I do want to see him in there. The bigger question to me is, who's your starting quarterback? In that, you know, Tyler Shuck's not going to play. Last week it was Spencer Rattler. You know, I think Zach Wilson objectively played better in that game. You know, Kellen did decline to name a starter as of today. He said that they're going to talk about that tonight, tomorrow, and kind of figure it out. But even that alone tells you that that backup quarterback conversation is a lot more interesting than it was going into the preseason opener, when he was definitive early in the week. Yeah, Spencer's going to start. We had not seen Zach Wilson get a single rep with the twos during anything but like a joint practice where you're kind of combining them. So it'll be interesting. I would expect Spencer to start again, but I think we're talking about it a lot more in that it's a competition as opposed to just a two and a three. So we'll see how that goes. But I think this is an important week for both of those guys. For Spencer to kind of bounce back from what I would say was a struggle in the preseason opener, and then for Zach Wilson to back up the performance, right? Because, you know, Zach's not a guy who's put a lot of back-to-back strong games on tape throughout his career. So he needs to go out there and do it again and really kind of put the fire under the Saints to make a decision there, because, you know, these guys are not that dissimilar. Zach Wilson was a second round or the number two overall pick, a few years ago, but he's only 27 years old. Spencer is 25, 26. So they're kind of in the same range in terms of, hey, what do you value the most in a backup? So I just think this is a big week for those quarterbacks.
No, I agree 1,000%, Jeff. And it's something that you had also noted, that Wilson was technically the backup in this practice and the joint workouts. We hear it all the time. They're effectively, you know, like the preseason games basically for these teams where they're playing the starters. And then the fact that he was the first one out there, I think, is pretty interesting after Tyler Shuck obviously getting work with the twos. I guess your projection, because, you know, Kellen, like you mentioned, declined to make a statement on it. They're going to continue to discuss it, but I think there, in a sense, it kind of would make some sense for Wilson to start preseason game number two after Rattler started preseason game number one, and then you go into, you know, the third week of the preseason, hopefully with a little bit more defined with that role. I think a lot of us really didn't discuss it too much about the backup quarterback battle, kind of penciled Rattler in, but with that performance from preseason week number one, maybe it's a little bit more of a conversation. So, like I said earlier, just kind of looking into the crystal ball a little bit, who would you project to be the starter for this Saturday's game against the LA Rams?
Yeah, I wouldn't overreact to today in the sense of, you know, Spencer got the first kind of run with the twos on Tuesday. Zach got it today. And to me, it's a lot more like a couple years ago when you had Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler competing for that backup job and you would kind of rotate. So I don't think today, like Zach getting the first reps today, is necessarily a sign that he's going to start. I would still expect it to be Spencer. But I do think that, you know, maybe you shorten Spencer's run a little bit. You know, I think last week you were kind of just having him out there until he got a successful run in or a successful drive with that second team offense, because the first few drives, the opening touchdown notwithstanding, didn't really do much. So I think you're going to focus more on keeping it even and making it more of an A to A comparison, whether it's Zach starting or Spencer starting. Whereas last week, I don't think they were necessarily concerned about that. I think it was more about building confidence in Spencer. So I don't know. It's tough. I would lean towards Spencer, but I could see him going the other way and saying, hey, we're competing. And to me, that's the right approach. I don't think you benefit at all from just handing Spencer the job. And I don't think you benefit at all from just pulling the rug out from under him either. I think you turn this into a legitimate competition. You say, may the best man win. And I think that's when football players are at their best. And if you can't handle that competition, you shouldn't have the job in the first place.
Jeff, I was just curious about the running back rotation, how things are going there. We know Alvin's currently down dealing with a knee issue right now. What about with Audric Estime? Was he seen at practice today? And other than that, how are the other backs doing?
Now, Audric didn't make the trip out to California, so he's back in Metairie getting treatment for that ankle injury. We won't see him on Saturday.
Gotcha.
As far as the rest of the running back room, Alvin has the sprained MCL, so he's going to miss some time. We did see a full workload for Kendre Miller, Devin Neal, Ty Chandler. We saw Travis Achane a little bit today, but he was only got a handful of reps early in the practice, and then they kind of shut it down. Ty Chandler got reps with the ones. Devin Neal got reps with the ones. Kendre Miller got reps with the ones. All those guys I thought looked solid. You know, Ty Chandler continues to be a guy that he'll catch you off guard with the speed, right? You don't expect to see that kind of speed out of the running back position. But when he gets to the edge, I mean, you're not chasing him down. You saw that in that kickoff return to start the game last week. Like, it's not just like running back speed. It's legit speed. And he had a play today where he just got to the edge, and he may have been gone for 40, 50 yards. It's tough to say in a practice where you're not really tackling. But I think you're going to get some run for him. But I really just – I'd like to see Kendre Miller, Devin Neal get a strong workload and prove they can hold up. Because I just think that's the question right now for both those guys. I don't have any question about their talent. I think they're both really good football players. But can they just be available week in, week out? Because if they can be, I think there's no question. Those are the guys you want on your roster. But if you continue to see, like, hey, two practices on, three practices off, dealing with a hamstring, dealing with a back, dealing with whatever, I just don't know how you can trust it. So I think this is an important week for them, too, to not only just get out there, but also, you know, get a good workload and then come back on Monday and be available again.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see both of them back out and getting practice reps because, you know, the injuries have been mounting up over the past couple off seasons for both players. I just wanted to ask you about Travis Etienne is someone that Deuce had really highlighted for that practice against the Cowboys, having a really good day that Tuesday. You know, did he kind of build upon that with this Thursday workout against the Rams? How did Travis look running with the ones?
I mean, he's looked solid. He looks like a really high floor player. You know, we didn't see a ton of work for him this week. I think, you know, you're starting to dial it back for him a little bit now that he's ingrained in the offense. And the only issue is you don't have Alvin to take that workload off of him. So I think there's a couple guys that you feel good about what you've seen from them throughout camp. And so you're going to start to dial it back to make sure they're ready when the season gets here. Caden Ellis is a good example of that. Chris Olave is a good example of that. I think Travis is a good example of that. I think he's exactly what they hoped they were going to be getting when they signed him. He's a solid pass catcher out of the backfield. He's constantly making positive things happen in between the tackles. He can get outside. He reads blocks well. He picks up blitzes well. So he's just, again, he's not a guy you look around the league and you see like a Bijan Robinson, you see a Saquon Barkley, a Jahmyr Gibbs, and it's just like, wow, you know, these are spectacular players. I think Travis is a much more just high floor, you know, I think of like a David Montgomery type player that like no one gets incredibly excited about when you look at the stat lines, but then it's just consistency and winning football that he plays down in, down out. And that's what the Saints, I think, really need at the running back position. So I've been happy with what I've seen from him.
And Jeff, any kind of update on the Saints kicker situation? I know we did get to see hear from Tanner Brown at the podium today.
Not today. It was a strange setup. You know, the Rams have a really nice practice setup out there in Woodland Hills, but they don't have any like permanent goalposts. They have these like little like mobile goalposts that are like half the size. And so there was really no setup to kick field goals today. So we saw Ryan Wright kicking, but no field goal attempts. So we'll have to wait until Saturday in the game to get any sort of update on where those guys are.
Always appreciate the time, man. What's on the docket for tomorrow? I think it's just a walkthrough for the Saints.
Just a walkthrough. It's not open, so we won't be out there. I know we'll be Deuce and myself will be hosting a show in the evening, which will be a little earlier for us. So that's where we'll get into a lot more. But otherwise, we won't be hearing at all from the Saints tomorrow. We'll have to wait till Saturday.
Did you get to talk to Bub Means and try to convince him to stay in his room instead of going to SoFi Stadium?
I didn't. But I did pack like a rabbit's foot. You know, I'll hand that to him before the game. Make sure we're all you know, superstitioned up in the right ways. Because he may not be as superstitious as I am, but I'm nervous for him. The last 2 years, he went to that stadium and left with a season-ending ankle injury. So hopefully it's not really the stadium, and I can stop talking about it after tomorrow.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak joining us out in California. Appreciate it, man, and be talking to you even more tomorrow.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Jeff.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak reporting from Saints joint practice against the LA Rams. A lot of work done today, a lot less fighting. And no fines coming from the LA Rams side of things.
A professional joint practice was held today, and that is a step up from what we saw on Tuesday.
I think it was Jeff or someone pointed out, I saw with Saints media, that the Dallas Cowboys were flagged for the most
unsportsmanlike
penalty last season.
Yeah, I saw
no
that
surprise
too. Listen, man, like I said in the interview with Jeff there, it is really funny looking at social media and seeing both sides beat reporters be like, that team's dirty, no, that team's dirty. It's just like, well, our team hasn't had any issues with the Rams, our team hasn't had any issues with the Jaguars. It's just like, I don't know, guys, it just happened, you know what I mean? But the notes are there about the amount of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties for that Dallas Cowboys team.
And now a hefty $500K fine for both teams.
Just saying it.